Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World. I'm Richard Dugan, your host. Thank you so much for joining us on the program. We are here Sundays at 7 a.m. and 7 p.m. and Monday mornings at 1 a.m., streaming live at richarddugan.com. We archive the programs. The podcasts are at richarddugan.com, the radio shows page. We are now on SoundCloud as well as iTunes, and we do have a Facebook presence now. Yes, I caved in. I guess that's the best way I can put it. I've been resisting going on Facebook, and then, of course, I'm hearing all this other news about all these other things. Matter of fact, I posted something on Facebook just the other day. Someone was commenting about the head of FB getting an explanation, and I had to remind the folks on Facebook, or at least through my post, this is no different than the 1950s and the subliminal messages that are being that were placed in every 24th slide, if you will, or frame. And isn't that what marketing and advertising is supposed to do? Convince you to buy their product or service or idea or philosophy or political party or religious affiliation, et cetera, et cetera. I mean, isn't that the whole point? I'm not necessarily saying that I agree with what happened. I'm just saying you need to step back just a moment and remember why this whole thing, why people are doing what they're doing, because supposedly that's the American way. Well, I don't know. I'm just saying this is nothing new. It's just a new technology, and that's one of the things that I think we need to keep in mind, when you go on Facebook, you go on social media, your privacy's gone. Personally, in 1994, when I first went on the internet, I knew that at the moment I went on the internet, my privacy was gone. And honestly, you know, from my perspective, God already knows, or your concept thereof. So what difference if 7.5 or 8 billion other people know, and besides, most of them don't care. And I don't care. But that's just me. Mike Murphy is my guest today. I'm really excited to talk to this gentleman because he's got, my opinion, is some great information that needs to be leaked everywhere. That's the Creation Frequency. That's the title of his latest work. It was released in early May of 2018. And it's how to tune into the power of the universe to manifest the life of your dreams. He's a Wall Street Journal bestselling author, also of Love Unfiltered, and also the foreword, I think you'll get a kick out of this too, by Jack Canfield. Mike, thank you so much for joining us on the program today. It's great to have you with us.
Thank you, Richard. Great to be here.
Now, we talk a lot on this program about frequencies and how everything has a vibration, and down to the subatomic level for that matter. And you're talking here about the creation frequency. And again, I don't ask this question to be flip, but does that have anything to do with whatever the frequency was at the time of, let's just say, the Big Bang, and in terms of supposedly and theoretically creating all that is in existence today, including you and me?
Well, yeah, but that's not why I called it this particular name.
No, I understand.
So we live in a field of infinite possibilities when we start to study quantum physics, and it's really tapping into the power of the creator and co-creating the life of our dreams. And by doing this, we can bring into our physical reality, using our thoughts and our emotions and tying into the co-creator of all that is, the most perfect life for us.
In your perspective, what is your, if I might ask, concept of the co-creator?
Well, there's definitely a creator, right? So, you know, we can go with the Bible, we can go with the Big Bang, the Big Bang's more accidental, so I try to shy away from that a little
okay.
bit. I do believe that somebody created this. If you study quantum physics, if you study the cell, how the micro becomes the macro, and it's almost magical the way this thing is put together. So
mm-hmm.
So there's this evolution going on right now. It's a spiritual evolution, but at the same time you have this things kind of falling apart on the other end. And that's just kind of the way it is. We live in this duality. So, well, you know, if you and I were to walk through the forest today, half of it's alive and half of it's dead. And if we come back in 100 years, we walk through it again, the other half is alive, the other half is dead.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of this cycle. But when we get out of the physical and we get into the spiritual, that's where the field of infinite possibilities exists. And so that's what I try to get the reader to understand, how the universe really works, how their mind really works, and how the power is in the subconscious mind, and how we have to get to the power of that, which is tied into the infinite mind of the Creator. And then once we do that, then we link powerful emotions, and the highest emotion is love, and that's the highest frequency. So the more love and compassion and service and acts like that that we can link to our intentions or our thoughts, then it comes into the physical so much quicker.
Well, we certainly do talk about that, and we also talk about how we give people choices and knowledge of those choices to help make their dreams come true. And that's really what it's all about, more so about helping people, teaching people how to thrive, get beyond this survival mode, and get into the I created a new word, thrival, thrival mode. And that's really what you're talking about as well. But I'm curious as to how this concept, as we can begin this process of discussing this and sort of vetting it out, if you will, how this ties into the human purpose for existence, and then coming down to the micro level, the individual, Mike Murphy, Richard Dugan, and their individual purpose for their existence in their life.
Yeah, so here's what's interesting. So you and I have our individual consciousness, right? That's our life. That's our story. But then there's the collective. And what I see happening right now is I see a lot of people waking up and really embracing their own individual consciousness and having spiritual awakenings. And there's a lot of growth and there's a lot of transformation and a lot of positive things happening on one end. On the other end, the collective consciousness is very heavy right now because there's so much negativity in the mainstream media and other sources and so many crazy things happening in the world. And so that collective consciousness can get very heavy. So one day you might wake up and you're feeling great, everything's going great, but as the day goes on, you tend to get a little bit more negative perhaps, because if that collective consciousness is heavy that day or you're surrounded by that energy and you're picking it up, it's going to affect your individual consciousness. That's why it's so important that we guard our hearts, we guard our minds, to what, you know, is garbage in, garbage out, right? So we really have to protect what goes into our head. But more importantly, we need to move from the head to the heart. The heart is the truth meter. The gut is actually the most powerful brain, if you ask me. The brain that lives in our head, right, that thing can be highly manipulated and brainwashed, but the heart can't. Where the soul lives and the heart lives and the gut instincts that we're born with, that's our truth. The other stuff we have to be very careful of.
Well, now, you've started to address one of the three aspects or factors that need to be addressed in order to basically achieve this. And one of them is, of course, as you were just elucidating, connecting to purpose and connecting your individual dreams and desires to the greater good of the world in which you live. And there seems to me, and I'm just trying to understand this as well, both from the standpoint of the creation frequency, which is your latest work, but also in terms of a lot of the research and searching that I have done over my lifetime and even through these radio programs. I mean, I tell people all this all the time. This is my therapy right here in this context of this program, and I'm trying to understand just like everyone else. So the part I'm trying to put into perspective here is this aspect of individuality and, I was going to say versus, but and the being part of the community, part of the collective. And just as you phrased here, our individual desires and the greater good of the collective, if you will. And I don't know about you, but I looked at, for example, our Declaration of Independence here in the United States, and it talks about how we have life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And that life, that's kind of a given. If you're breathing and you're, you know, in this world and you're functioning, you have life. Liberty, that's another thing that we hope we have, that we're not imprisoned somewhere against our will for reasons we don't understand. And then, of course, I chuckle with people about the pursuit of happiness. We don't get it. We get to pursue it kind of thing.
Right. Right.
But that this particular philosophy or paradigm under, I'm going to use the Constitution, really screams individuality, privacy, freedom from oppression, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And yet on a spiritual level, we've learned that we're all connected. So how does one balance that so as to, I guess, let the ego just relax a little bit so that we can pursue that collective common good. And we're not talking about socialism or communism or any other ism here. We're talking about the progression, if you will, and hopefully the raising of humanity from the level we're at to a higher level somewhere.
Yeah, so you're right on the money. So the most important thing you just said there is that we're all connected. And when we truly understand that, and not only truly understand it mentally, grasp it there, but feel it. When you feel it, then if there's one other person in this world that's suffering, then I'm suffering as well. And so that's my whole, you know, this is why I got into all the philanthropy that I do and all, and the giving back that I try to do, is because I realize that for us to transcend what appears to be a world that's kind of falling apart, we have to, there's 7 billion of us. If 3.5 billion of us would lift up one person less fortunate than us, mm-hmm. everything shifts. The entire consciousness of this world would shift to love and service and compassion, and all the wars would end and all the hunger would end. But we have to understand that we're all one. And not only the humans, we have the human family, but there's the animal family, there's the plant family. It's that the chi, the prana, the plasma, you know, that Tesla called it, whatever holds together these atoms vibrating at certain frequencies, mm-hmm. that's the power, and that's what gives us life, and that's what connects all of us. And so when we get this in our heart and in our soul, then we're compelled to go out into the world and serve others.
As James Redfield spoke of in his Celestine Prophecy, you, my friend, Mike Murphy, you are sharing with us a specific message, the creation frequency that we're talking about here today, with the rest of us. And we all need to, so to speak, put down our shields, put down the walls, to be able to hear what you are saying in order for us to be able to even begin to comprehend and understand, or as I like to use the term, to grok this concept of the creation frequency. But the converse is also true, too. And I'm curious about that interplay that you have had with other folks as you share this creation frequency with them and their receptivity to it. Or are only people who are receptive to it drawn to you? I mean, do you get a lot of people who say, hey, I think you're full of it, Mike. I think you're an idiot, and you need to go back into your religious hole somewhere, and we'll send you some food every once in a while.
No, I think people are pretty receptive to this message right now. So basically, the creation frequency, the law of attraction, mm-hmm. but it has a secret twist that, you know, that I was blessed to learn this as a very young man. My life was totally out of control. I met what I call the mystery man, who taught me the law of attraction, but at the very end, he added something that I've never seen. You know, I've read every book on the law of attraction, Think and Grow Rich, and you know, all these books on manifestation, and none of them have this magic extra twist that we've put into the creation frequency. We've created an app so the reader can use this app, and we've also created an online course. And I think you'll appreciate this, Richard, because what we do is we use the power of sound. And it's the power of sound is just a very powerful frequency. You know, you assume that I'm speaking words right now. But in reality, my vocal cords are moving air molecules that's creating a frequency that's going through this handheld telephone into your ear, where it goes into your mind and it's digitalized and turned into language. So it's that power of putting that frequency out of my intention that creates the power. And the mystery man taught me this. One, he taught me how to write a powerful intention. And, you know, I was such a broken man. I was around 23 or 4, whatever. And I was so broken. My life was such a mess. I've created such a mess of my life. And here was this man teaching me how to write these powerful intentions as if they already existed, because there's no difference between reality or imagination. And then we had these powerful intentions, and I would meet with him 1 hour a week for the first 6 weeks. And so now at the end of 6 weeks, I had these six powerful intentions for six different areas of my life written as how I would want my life to be perfectly in my mind, right? Mm-hmm. And then on week 7, he brought out, and this was in 1982, he brings out a boombox. And in the boombox, he puts a cassette tape. And some of your listeners aren't even going to know about these devices, because they're now obsolete.
Well, I know what they are, Mike. I know exactly what they are.
So he puts in a cassette tape which has theta brainwave music on it. And then he hands me a cassette player and a microphone that has another blank cassette tape in it. And then he hands me a relaxation script, and he turns on the Theta Brainwave music, and he has me record this relaxation script, which gets me into a self-hypnotic trance so that I can puncture the conscious mind and get into the subconscious mind. And then he has me write these six intentions of these six desires I had for my physical reality. And so I left there 7 weeks later, $350 poorer, with a cassette tape. But then he instructed me to listen every morning and every night. And these intentions were mind-blowing. Okay, they were my wildest dreams, fantasies. And all six of them came through and just quickly and beyond my wildest imagination. And so that's the power of the spoken words. And that's the power of using this high frequency, okay, and putting it out into the universe. And he also taught me how to reprogram my subconscious mind, because we're all programmed from birth and, you know, up until age seven. Whoever's teaching us is programming us in beliefs that may or may not be true that we never question. So he got me to question all my beliefs and instill my own programming for my own subconscious mind, and taught me how to tap into that power. You know, the subconscious mind, right now, your subconscious, my subconscious, depending on who you talk to, is taking in 1 million to 10 million bits of information every second. Okay?
Wow.
It's monitoring everything internally and externally. But it only delivers to our conscious mind 40 bits of those million pieces of information.
Wow.
And it doesn't judge. And it only delivers the ones that it thinks that we want or desire.
Mm.
So all this negative self-talk, that's why we just create these patterns in our life, and we keep repeating these patterns until we understand how the mind really works. And then when we understand how the mind really works and we can program our belief system to deliver to us those 40 bits of information that are going to move us further along to become the best version of ourselves and create the best life for ourselves, then if we understand and we move from the head to the heart and we garner this powerful emotion, okay, that's what energy is. It's this powerful emotion. And then we link it to these thoughts and these desires and these intentions, we literally can create miracles in our life.
You know, I have never believed that there was ever wasted time or space, and that things come up for a reason. And I never know what they are. And as I've shared with our listeners many times, when I'm doing these interviews with you or anybody else, Mike, I have no list of questions. The universe is the one asking the questions. I'm just along for the ride. It's a lot of fun,
right.
I got to tell you.
Right. What a great way to live.
Absolutely. And here's what's interesting. As I mentioned at the opening of this program about this whole thing with Facebook and social media in general, and this whole issue of privacy and being manipulated and being turned this way and that way, and maybe some things were done inappropriately, maybe they were illegal, etc. But it's like I said at the outset, how is that different than what any other company is trying to do to get you to spend your money at their place of business for their product or service? And if it's a religious organization, if it's a political organization, what difference does it make?
Right.
That's what's going on around us. And so to that, I want to ask you, and we go back to this issue of sound, which is a huge topic on this program as well. I mean, we talk about it quite often in terms of vibrations, as well as the issue that you brought up, that words have power. Now, they only have power based upon the intent. You could say the same thing four different ways, and it would come out four different ways, and people would get four different meanings, if not more, from each of those.
Right.
So let's talk about this issue of the power of these vibrations in the context of this, I'm going to put the label on it, this manipulative element in our civilization, in our society. And are they aware? I have to believe they must be aware of the power that they wield when putting out these various messages.
Absolutely. They I mean, they got this down to a science.
Yeah.
Okay, that's just why, and this is where I see the problem, especially in America. You know, I also live in Columbia, South America, so I travel quite a bit.
Wow.
But what I see in America is we've quit thinking. We've quit questioning. There's a saint of a woman down in Ojai near you by the name of Byron Katie. And she's probably the greatest spiritual teacher in the world today, because she gets you to question everything. And she says, you know, the worst sin you can ever be guilty of is believing a thought that's not true. because it's that thought that gets you to create this action. And if it's a negative action, then that thought was a poor thought. But we never question it. But when we start questioning everything, okay, that we're taught, then we get to the truth. It becomes self-obvious. And really, you know, that's what I see here is people, and there's such an anger, you know, because, you know, there's such a division, you know, it's divide and conquer. And there's so many divisions in this country right now. But the biggest one going on right now is the political, the left and the right.
Mm-hmm.
But there's ever an honest debate. It's just loud shouting and or not listening and just getting angry.
Yeah.
That's not going to solve anything. So we have to understand that. We're so much greater and bigger than that, but we're playing so small in the world right now because we're programmed. I think we've been intentionally dumbed down in a lot of different ways through media, perhaps through medicine, perhaps through food, perhaps through water. I don't know. But there's been a dumbing down, okay? I'm 60 years old, so I've seen this country for 60 years, and it's not the same. And,
no.
And my kids aren't the same as I was, so something's shifting. And it's not in a positive direction.
Well, you know, you raised a lot of different issues that may be part of the process. And I've even thought, and I'm only 2 years behind you, my friend. I'm only 2 years behind you. and I feel the same way. But at the same time, I also observe the fact that if we are all connected, okay, even though maybe we'll call it the micro level, there is this separation. There's the left and there's the right,
right.
Whether it's politics or otherwise. The fact is that somehow, some way, in a way we don't see yet, somehow those two dualistic dichotomies almost somehow work together, maybe to help us to begin to educate ourselves. I mean, I went through grade school, high school. I went through the 12 grades. I went to community college for 3 semesters. I went to a vocational school, never went to university. I'd like to think I have a PhD, but I have no paperwork to back that up. But I was asking, when I worked for a religious radio station for 15 years, I was asking the hard questions. Why this, why that? And I think one of the greatest responses to one of the comments I made was that, and I say that I started at the age of 17 on my search. Call a spiritual search or what have you. My primer was Autobiography of a Yogi. And in the job that I was working at one point, I made the comment about how I was on this search and have been since I was 17. And they said, oh, well, once you find Jesus, your search is over. To which instinctively I knew, not intellectually, but somewhere deep inside, I knew. And I said to them, well, actually, once I find Jesus, my search has just begun. And I have searched in every corner, almost every corner, to try to put together some kind of big picture concept of who we are, why we're here, and where we're going. And I've even raised this question, and in light of the creation frequency, as well as, I'm throwing a lot here at you, as well as the dichotomy of the left and the right, and again, in whatever area of our existence you want to put that, I've even raised the question, does man really deserve the right to continue as a species? I mean, look at what a mess he's made. I mean, you just said it yourself. Your kids aren't the kinds of kids that you were when you were a kid. And same here. I mean, I miss those days when I could run around the neighborhood and up and down the alleys and play with the other kids, and never a word was said because they knew we were playing. We weren't being destructive. We weren't being violent and profane and all of those things. We were just having a great time. You can't do that today.
Yep.
So tell me about how that all plays together in this regard.
So, you're going to understand this. So, you know, we live in an electrical universe. That's what creates the energy. It's the electricity. And so when you have electricity, you have negative and you have positive. Okay? So that's all that's going on here, is we have positive actors that are bringing light and good to the world, and we have negative actors that want to bring destruction and greed and all these other negative attributes that cause suffering, human suffering. So we have those, the light workers, you, me, and others that literally are exploding right now, okay, to bring light to the world and to shift this consciousness and to usher in heaven back onto earth, right? So that's positive. That's great. And if we can keep that momentum going and we can unite and we can keep that going through shows like yours and what you're doing and what I'm trying to do with my books and et cetera, fantastic. We can, but it's going to take, we have momentum, but not enough. I mean, and the negative powers to be that to have control, especially because they control all the money, okay, they're running scared because they see this shift in consciousness. They see this elevation of spirituality. And so they're running scared. So they're upping their time frame, their game, to bring more destruction. So you have this little, you know, little battle of positive and negative going on right now. But our role as individuals is to rise above all of that. Okay, and here's the other thing that's really important, because you know I deal with a lot of different types of people, but life is hard. Okay, this physical reality is hard, and so I'm not trying to sell something here that you know is going to make life easier. It's just going to make it a lot better, mm-hmm. because you're going to understand how it works. And when you understand, that's what the powers to be understand. They understand how this world works. They understand how this electrical energy works, and so they're able to use it to manipulate and divide and conquer and take control. And basically, we're all slaves. Especially if we work here in California. You know, I'm paying over 60% of taxes of every dollar I make. I mean, when does it stop? And it's only going to get worse as the economy gets worse. So we really have to take responsibility for our individual consciousness. And so why are we? And here's the other interesting thing, at least in my experience, and I think in yours as well, is our greatest growth comes from suffering. And the greater the suffering, the greater the growth. And I unfortunately, that's just the way it's always worked in my life. And so, you know, So that negativity, that suffering does serve a purpose. And so what is our purpose? I think our purpose is to, you know, I believe that we're born perfect, and then we're programmed by whoever, wherever environment we're born. Now, did we choose that before we took physical reality? I don't know. We could debate that for days. Mm-hmm. Okay, but the reality is we're born perfect, and it's to get back to that perfection before we take that last breath and to leave this place better than what we found it. That's the only thing I can figure out what's going on here.
Yeah.
So, and this is what I love about Byron Katie, who I mentioned before, is, you know, she says, they ask her, well, why do you do what you do? She teaches this is all an illusion, right? It's all a dream. It's not real. So she goes, well, Katie, if this all a dream, it's not an illusion, why do you work so hard? Why are you trying to help so many people? She goes, because as one person believes they're suffering, doesn't mean they're suffering, but believes the thought that they're suffering, then I have work to do.
Mm-hmm.
And so I love that about her and her mission, and I feel the same way. And if we could all embrace that, just, man, there's so much suffering in this world right now, and where it touches me the deepest is these children that are suffering. And this is why we have to really all get together and to try to alleviate suffering. And what higher purpose than that?
Exactly. I couldn't agree with you more from that standpoint. And I I have dealt with this whole concept of duality, to the point where I've even asked the question, look, the ancient wisdom teachings from all different philosophies, most of them teach that, you know, we come from the One.
Yep.
And they also talk about and teach that we're going to the One. Mm-hmm. And so my perplexity surrounds the aspect of, then why are we doing this duality? What is the point? Especially when we get to the conversation you and I are having, that we're all connected and that we all have that spiritual life. And I've even taken from one of what I consider one of the greatest science fiction stories that has been shared with the population in the 90s especially, and that was A Next Generation with Star Trek. And there was one character in that series that also came out in some of the movies that I thought epitomized. Roddenberry probably didn't mean it this way, but I saw it, that epitomized us humans and our spiritual connection, and that was the Borg. Because they were all individuals, they all came from wide and varied places in the galaxy, and yet here they were, granted, they're not by their own free will, but here they were collectively doing individual jobs. You have your purpose, Mike, I have mine,
right.
You go about your job, I go about mine. However, somehow, some way, unbeknownst to us, we're doing our part for the collective.
Right.
And that's one of those things that I know a lot of folks struggle with, because it almost implies that, I'm sorry, you don't have individuality anymore because you're part of the collective. Well, Yes and no. And maybe we can get into that because you have two other points I want to get into in the second half of our program. One of them is digging deep, which I touched upon just briefly there, and then getting specific and practical. And we'll talk about that as well as we continue talking with Mike Murphy. And he is the author of The Creation Frequency. Tune into the power of the universe to manifest the life of your dreams. And I can tell you, folks, you can go to Mike Murphy Unfiltered. Sounds like a TV show, Mike. we sort of have a president that's unfiltered. So, but that's a whole that's another subject for another time.
This is Twitter account.
Exactly. MikeMurphyUnfiltered.com is the website. You can go there. He's also the author of Love Unfiltered. It's a Wall Street Journal bestseller. And you've also got a foundation that you created. We'll talk a little bit about that as we continue here on the program. I'm Richard Dugan. This is Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World. And we will continue here with the frequency that we're using to emanate our voices through the speakers that you're listening to us through. We certainly hope that you will go to richarddugan.com, but also go to SoundCloud, where the podcasts are. Go to iTunes, where the podcasts are, or the radio show's page at richarddugan.com. I'm Richard Dugan. This is Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World, and we will be right back.
Tell me your story.
And welcome back to Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World. I'm Richard Dugan, your host, and we continue talking with Mike Murphy, and we continue to discuss this aspect of the creation frequency. Tune into the power of the universe to manifest the life of your dreams. You know, what I find interesting, Mike, we had the opportunity to discuss and share a little bit before the interview about some of our experiences, and of course, you know, I think about, you know, the phrase that we like to use here on the program, New Paradigms for a New World, and giving you choices and knowledge of those choices to help make your dreams come true. And I mean, I've come up with some new ones that I never thought I would have since I started doing this radio program. And there were some dreams that came true that I didn't even know I had. One of them was going to Ireland twice with my present wife. One of them was getting divorced once, never again. It wasn't actually a dream. That was more of a nightmare, but be that as it may. But there are certain things like moving to the coast. I wanted to be close to the ocean. I wanted to be close to the water. And I finally made it. You know, here I am. And I've been here for 12 years. To me, the greatest thing that an individual can do for self is get an education. And it doesn't have to be formal. Especially considering the price of formal education today.
Right.
The school of hard knocks, you know, a lot of times we end up paying a bigger price for that school, but it ends up being worth it. It really does because of the things that we manage to learn. And as you said, question, one of your mentors from Ojai talked about that. Wasn't it in the 60s, the phrase was, it was rather localized, it was always question authority. But you take that next step and just be curious, always ask questions and be genuinely curious. I was challenged by the religious radio station's general manager after doing an interview with someone, and he had to hear it before it aired. And his first question was, "Are you Muslim?" And I said, "No, I'm just curious. I just want to know." You know, and I think that as you were saying earlier, we've lost that. But is it specifically and more exclusively in the United States where we've lost it? I mean, you say you live in Colombia as well in South America. Yeah. What about other parts of the world, which I'm sure you've traveled to? Do they suffer from the same problem that we do in the West here in the United States?
It's not nearly as severe. In Colombia reminds me of American 1960s because it's, you know, they've been at war for 60, 70 years. It's over now. And they have an expanding middle class, and people are moving out of the cities into the suburbs and building soccer fields and raising their families. And it's a very, very tight family society, which is what I love about it. So in Colombia, it's different. You know, you go to countries like China, and it's, you know, you have an oppressive, you know, negative vibe, energy. You can feel it. It's very dense. You can feel it when you walk through it. But in the U.S., I think we've just kind of lost our soul. And I think it's been orchestrated. I think it's been someone's agenda to destroy this country. And it's working. I mean, the debt is out of control. The pensions are under control. I'm in Oakland. I've been coming to Oakland for over 40 years. We went through the Hells Angels, the Black Panthers, recessions, earthquakes, and and I have a Volkswagen dealership here, and three blocks away, there's thousands and thousands of homeless people. It's a refugee camp in downtown Oakland. It's never 44 years I've never seen anything like this. And I know it's big in Los Angeles, and in San Francisco is a disaster. So something's shifting here, and it's not good. And I think the only way out, okay, you know, the only way out is through love and service and compassion and dealing with our own stuff and becoming the best version of ourselves, and then saying how can I help solve this problem? Not for me, you know. I don't do this for me. I do this for my children and my grandchildren, for your children and for your grandchildren. So, and perhaps for me, if there is such a thing as reincarnation. So if we want to have this physical reality again, then I want to be able to come back here. So when we were talking earlier about duality, and something mm-hmm. you said made me think of a conversation I had with Dr. Bruce Lipton. Are you familiar with him?
I've had him on the program.
Okay, super guy, right? So,
yeah.
And this great book of Biology of Belief. So I was having lunch with him not too long ago in Costa Rica, and I was saying, you know, listen, I'm ready to get out of here. I'm ready to get out of my body and go back to, you know, pureness and consciousness and peace and joy. And he says, yeah, Mike, I totally get that. I understand that. But let me ask you a question. In that state, can you taste chocolate? You know, because he's going, there's a purpose for this physical reality, okay? And it's to come here and have this physical interaction. So, because I don't know, I'm speculating, but perhaps it gets busy being a perfect soul and, you know, in soul school. I don't know. So there's a reason that this physical reality was created,
mm-hmm.
and I hope it's a positive one. I know I've had enormous growth in my life, and, you know, the problem is, you know, and I think it was Thoreau that said, you know, most men lead lives of quiet desperation. And so that's really what my life is about, is waking people up to this opportunity that we have. And I know it's not easy. I know it's difficult. I know people are born into certain difficult circumstances or experience cancer, death, loss, grief, guilt. I get all that, right? But we got to keep on going and keep getting up and striving to make this place better for the next generation, and perhaps us again someday.
I've often used this analogy that if the Earth were to hold a seminar for the rest of the mm-hmm. universe, or if even just the solar system,
mm-hmm.
The focus of that seminar would be on crisis management.
Mm-hmm.
Because we don't know who, for whatever reason, collectively, we do not know how to do preventative maintenance.
Right.
Now, as we speak here on the Central Coast, we suffered through in December a devastating fire, the largest in the state's history. And then in January, Montecito suffered a massive mudslide. And even as we speak, we're getting torrential rains and the quote-unquote Pineapple Express as far as the moisture, and we aren't sure yet exactly how that's all going to pan out. I've been producing programs here where the hosts are talking about how, you know, if we had done this and this and this and this, and then there are these small collective groups that say, no, you can't do that because it will do this and it will do that. We don't want that to happen. And so they prevent us from doing the kind of preventative maintenance, at the same time preserving what it is that they want. So everybody wins and nobody loses when we have these massive fires that we wouldn't have if we had done the preventative maintenance, and we wouldn't have these massive mudslides that would never have happened if we'd done the preventative maintenance. But for whatever reason, we don't do that. You know, we wait until disaster strikes, and it's a beautiful thing. I'm sure you've seen it, Mike, where we have these catastrophes, whether it's hurricanes or fires or earthquakes or whatever it is, and people are hurt and injured and needing help, and boy, the humanity comes oozing out all over the place. People are there to support one another, and that's a beautiful thing. And maybe that's the point, is that the only way that the divine power that exists is going to get us to wake up is to have these things. I'm not saying that the divine power creates them, but allows these things to unfold so that it brings out that humanity in us and shows our collective connectedness.
Well, that's the beauty of the human spirit. That's the beauty of our heart, our soul. I mean, I would suggest to you that the majority, if not, you know, the vast majority of humans are like this, but we've enabled a few to control the many. And they do that through the banking system and the money. And whoever controls the money controls the world. And so, and we've bought into it, you know. And mm-hmm. and we chase material stuff all the time, but it doesn't serve us, right? And so we get trapped. What's the first thing they do when you turn 18? They send you a $500 Visa card. What's the first thing an 18-year-old does with a $500 Visa card? He maxes it out at 24% interest. Okay, and now you're in the system. You know, this place is a bunch of big systems. You're born into a medical system. Placed into a family system, usually placed into a religious system, and then into an educational system, and then you have a political system, a social system, a prison system. I mean, it's all a bunch of systems. And what does the human soul want? Freedom. Mm-hmm. Okay, and that's where this huge disconnect is. And so, if we could get rid of this oppressiveness, okay, and be free. Literally free, and be able to just support one another and get back to communities. You know, it takes a community to create a beautiful life. You know, and there's so much isolation. You know, I remember when my wife passed away about 7 years ago. I mean, I'm living in this building, and you know, there's neighbors above and next door, and no one knows anybody. You know, mm-hmm. and it's like there's no community, and we've lost that. You know, when I was a kid, we'd move to a new town. You know, eight neighbors would show up in, you know, the next few days with cookies, cakes, and blah blah blah.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's we're being manipulated to a destructive type of existence.
I think there's a wonderful phrase that I think epitomizes what you've just described, and that is divide and conquer. That has been done in the last political election, and it's being done over and over again in all other circles. A house divided against itself not only will not, it cannot stand.
Right. Yep.
And yet we somehow, and I remember a gentleman who ran for the governorship of Arizona. He was a car dealer named Ev Meekum. And I remember a speech of his. I didn't actually actively listen to it. I just happened to catch this out of a corner of my ear. He said something along the lines of that some of the greatest civilizations have only lasted around 400 years, an average of 400 years, mm-hmm. and America is going to be different. And I have to say, the first thought that came to my mind, not that I was being pessimistic and I wanted to see our way of life end, but it's like, well, really? You really think that that's the case, that we're going to be different? How so? Because I've seen late, maybe you've seen some of these articles by some of these people who sort of, they track civilizations and their historical roots and their process and progress. And I'm seeing articles that are coming out now saying that the United States is basically going down the road of every fallen civilization, and we're careening down this hill. Right. And it's almost to a point of no return. I hope there is a return. I hope we can turn it around. And it's going to take... to coin a phrase, it's going to be all of us or none of us.
Right.
And exactly. We all have to contribute. And you're doing that in a very fine way by the work that you're doing through especially the creation frequency. Now, I want to challenge one of your assertions that you made at the beginning of the program regarding the Big Bang.
Sure.
Okay. And this is based upon what you've already said about our life as humans here and all of the things that we do and things that happen and so on and so forth. And that, you know, there's sort of meaning there. But you made the phrase, correct me if I'm wrong, that you said that it was an accident. Well, if it was an accident, then how is any of this other stuff, how does any of this other stuff have any meaning?
Well, if I did say that, I'm not sure I meant to say it that way.
Okay.
But
clarify.
What I'm saying is I haven't fully bought into the Big Bang Theory.
Oh, I see. Okay.
So until you buy into that, it doesn't really matter. So I understand that that's one possibility for physical creation,
sure.
Right? But I haven't bought into that yet. I've studied, I've analyzed, I've looked at it, but, you know, I haven't really cemented any belief system around it.
And maybe the reality of it all is it doesn't really matter, because the fact of the matter is you and I, we're here now.
Yep.
And this is what we have to deal with, not how did the universe begin? And if we don't answer that question, well, we should just end it all.
Exactly. For sure.
Let me ask you, you had addressed the passing of your wife 7 years ago.
Yeah.
Since then, you have also started a foundation that supports and fosters, if you will, I use that term in this context, a very specific group of individuals, if you will. Tell me about that.
Well, I was blessed in 2000, this beautiful woman walked into my Chevrolet dealership to sell me some Hispanic advertising. And for 7 months we worked together, and she was falling in love with me. I didn't know it. I was falling in love with her. She didn't know it. And so it was difficult for us to start a relationship, but we did. And we were just madly in love. You know, Plato talks about twin flames, how we're one soul cut in half, and we spend many lifetimes looking to find the other half and be reunited. And that's how this was a twin flame or soulmate type of relationship. And it was so powerful. But 9 months into it, we discover a ping pong size tumor in her breast, and it was already stage 3, already spread to the lymph system. And she was only 29 years old at the time. So we spent 9 of our 10 years together while she battled this cancer, and so we didn't know anything. We were just like everybody else, you know, and excited that, you know, we're working with the head of oncology at a major hospital and going through the Western procedure. But it was really 9 years of pure hell. But I was so blessed to have this woman who was 16 years younger than me teach me in person, physically, as witness, that what courage is and what conviction is, and when she took her last breath, she was so prepared and went out so peacefully and gracefully that forever changed my life. Now, of course, in December of 2010, after 8 years of battling this disease, the doctor said, you know, Margot, unfortunately, it spread to the lining of your brain and your cerebral spinal fluid. And if you do nothing, you have 6 weeks to live. And if you treat it, you have 6 months to live. And she chose to treat it. And so in those 6 months, while she was treating it, we were hoping for a miracle, and we did all these amazing things. We were also preparing for that last breath. But you, as me, as the spouse, you know, you always think you have one more day until you don't. And then, boom, nothing can prepare you, or nothing could have prepared me, I should say, for that moment. And I went through the most utter grief and just total devastation. But, you know, the blessing in that is, one, I'd had this beautiful witness, okay? I watched this beautiful woman go through this and take that beautiful last breath and just peace and love. And then in my devastation, God was finally able to come in, because there was no ego left, there was no defense left, there was nothing left to fight against this power, and was able to come in, and what I say is fillet open my heart, take out all the self-centeredness, take out all the bullshit, excuse my language, and replace it with love. And so since that time, my life, it changed the direction of my life in so many ways, and I'm blessed to be able to reflect on what this woman taught me through this experience, and now I try to share it with other women. And so shortly after that, another woman, 38 years old, which was my wife's age when she passed, showed up in my life, stage 4 breast cancer, 3 children, moving from Wyoming to the Bay Area because there's better treatment here, and asked if I could help. And her name was Amanda. So I took Amanda to our last oncologist here, and he ordered tests. And so I spent 2 months with Amanda going to different tests, procedures, surgeries. And what I noticed is she was treated completely different than us, okay? She was a minority. She didn't have a husband. She didn't have money. She didn't have good insurance. She didn't have good resources. And they either talked down to her or over her head. And I just couldn't say anything because it wasn't my place, but I just observed it. And then 2 months after that, we go back to our oncologist, and he says, Amanda, the best protocol to extend your life are these 3 chemotherapies simultaneously. Unfortunately, I can only give you one because that's all your insurance will pay for. And frankly, I was blown away. It just blew me away. So I go, here's my credit card, and you give this young woman whatever it is she needs. And that, unbeknownst to me at the time, was the seeds of what is now the Love for Margot Foundation. So since that time, I've worked with hundreds of women. They're all below the poverty line. They have very little resources, and they're going through this terrible illness called cancer. And so it's totally transcended my whole life. So my whole life right now is to help people, and so I do that through the creation frequency so people can own their power, take their power back, understand how the universe works, and go out and help make the world a better place. And then we do it through the Love for Margot Foundation, where we do a lot of other things besides helping women with cancer, but all with the vision of raising the consciousness, raising the frequency to one of love and service. Mm.
Well, you and I share somewhat similar stories in that my wife, my second wife, was diagnosed with a rare form of fallopian tube cancer back in 2001. And we have a dear friend who is a Vedic astrologer who shared with her prior, about a year or so earlier, that in the month of July of 2001, she would have what he referred to as a death-like experience. Well, being diagnosed with cancer gets pretty darn close to that.
Yep.
So anyway, She went through surgery and then chemo. And I got to tell you, I wouldn't wish that stuff on my worst enemy. That is just some, and I didn't go through it. She did. And I'm the observer.
Right.
So I can't even imagine what's going on. And she's still alive today. So I'm thankful and grateful
Thank
for
God.
That.
Right.
But the reality is that, you know, we do face all of these incredible challenges in our lives. And I know that, and sadly, one of her dear friends, for whatever reason, and we never did find out, because this friend just disappeared from her life. And odds are it had something to do, we knew a little bit about her history, about had something to do with her mother, who had also gone through some traumatic disease, and she apparently was there to help and did not want to go through that again because she figured that she was going to lose
right.
her best friend.
Right.
And, I mean, so we all face these challenges, and you faced it with, you know, something that was really quite incredible and empowering. You use the phrase, you talk about, educating these women,
mm-hmm.
not just about the process they're going through. I am probably, well, I am a firm proponent of education. I don't care what kind it is, get it. Because if you don't, there's a wonderful phrase, you've probably heard this many times. We don't know what we don't know.
Mm-hmm.
And how can you make a choice? As we talk about giving people choices and knowledge of those choices, if you don't know that choice even exists.
Right.
And to me, yeah. education, I've got to share this part. I was talking with a professor of a local community college about how I thought everybody deserved an education. And from this professor came this statement. I disagree because some people are just stupid. And I'm thinking, you're a college professor, and that's your attitude towards providing everyone with an education? I have a real hard time believing that people behind the counter at the local Five and Dime or fast food store restaurant don't have any other choice. And most of them don't because they don't have the education. They don't have the ability to critically think. They don't have the ability maybe even to imagine and dream, which is what you, through the creation frequency, what you're trying to foster in folks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Talk
well,
about that.
Yeah, well, when I have, you know, talk about it, I have an eighth grade education. So my mentors were, you know, Zig Ziglar, Dennis Waitley, Tony Robbins, you know, Byron Katie.
Name someone I don't know.
so those are my mentors, right? Those are my teachers.
Mm-hmm.
And because, but here's one thing that professor doesn't understand, okay? In his system, in his belief system, yeah, people are stupid because they don't understand the stuff that he's trying to teach. But here's the truth, and I truly believe this, that everybody that comes into this physical reality, every soul that's born into a physical body comes here with a gift. It might not fit into that guy's belief system,
yeah.
okay? And so they might not be smart enough to understand whatever they're teaching because what they're teaching might not even be the truth and might not make any sense. That was my problem in school. I'm sitting in there thinking I'm in a prison cell, and I know I'm never going to use any of this stuff in my life, and I know it's a waste of time and energy, so I just said, adios, you guys are crazy. I got on a bus at 14 in downtown Cincinnati and got off in Lexington, Kentucky, 100 miles south, with no money. I because there was something wrong in this system, and I knew it. I just needed to get out and go find my way.
Mm.
So you know, life is our teacher. And you mentioned Hard Knocks before. I mean, that's the greatest teacher, you know, to get you to grow up, see what's going on. You know, I'll tell you an interesting question. So I'm in Colombia, and we're about ready to have a very spiritual ceremony with about 20 people. It's a six-hour ceremony. And I met a dear friend there. He's, you know, a younger guy, probably 26 or 7. And everybody drives motorcycles there. It's very, very dangerous. And so his father showed up, you know, a little bit later. And I go, you know, I've been trying to tell Sam to buy a car, get rid of the motorcycle. He goes, why? I go, well, because motorcycles are dangerous. And this guy, this is Colombia, right? It's the difference between Colombia and America. He looks at me, he goes, you want to know something, Mike? Life is dangerous. Okay? And see, in America, we think we're the greatest nation, we're entitled, and we're blah, 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 blah. No, life is difficult, life is tough. You got to be smart, you know, gentle as a dove, wise as a serpent. So it's really, you know, But the teacher is always teaching us. Life
yes.
is always teaching us.
Yes.
And life will never give up on you. So when shit's going really bad and wrong, okay, that's just life saying, hey, over here, young man. Go over here, get change. Like Mother Earth vibrates at a certain frequency called the Schumann resonance, 7.86 hertz. Okay, they say Mother Earth is now vibrating over 30 hertz. Okay, I believe it's a wake-up call for us to really wake up and pay attention. And this is what's happening. This is why there's a spiritual awakening taking place. Because Mother Earth is saying, wake up, you guys. It's getting out of control, you know?
You know, I've had many guests on this program. I've never had to say this to them like I have to say it to you, Mike. You really need to get a little more passionate about what you're talking about because I'm just not getting it. You have grokked it. You truly have. And that, of course, for some folks, if you don't know, comes from the book Stranger in a Strange Land, which I am still reading for the first time. I haven't finished it yet. I'm still in the middle of it, but thank God it's on Audible. I love Audible. To that end, have you plans to record or have someone record your books, whether it's Love Unfiltered or The Creation Frequency?
My publisher just sent me an email. Somebody, I think it was Audible, or did pick it up as an Audible. I'm not recording it myself, but they will. So that I think the Audible version will be available. It's a very short, powerful book.
Yeah.
Can I give a little gift to your listeners here?
Absolutely. We love gifts. Okay.
So I'd like to say that a couple things. One, the book also comes with an online course. It's called The Creation Frequency. So all this stuff is at MikeMurphyUnfiltered.com.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, like I mentioned in the early 80s, I paid $350 to learn how this really works, and it's in today's dollars, $1,100. So we sell the course at $397. We have a $200 off introductory offer right now, $197. But if any of your listeners want it, they can enter the promo code RDGIFT and get $100 off. So it's only $97. Or an even better offer is if when the book comes out and they purchase the book at Amazon or Barnes & Noble and email Mike at Mike Murphy Unfiltered proof of purchase and write a review, then I'll send them a promo code where they can get the course for free. And the let me tell you one thing about the course, the book, and we have a free app at the App Store and the Google Store where people can download this app. The high-frequency music's already embedded. That's free. At my website, there's enough information for people to write their intentions and get this. What the course does, it goes deeper, 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 and really shows them how to write the most powerful intentions and how the universe works, how their mind works, et cetera, et cetera. So I encourage them to do that. But if they don't have the money, the content's out there. It's free. The app is free for downloading. And the whole purpose is to, I promise you one thing, whoever takes this information and uses this, their life can only get better. Okay, the only way to fail is to not take action. And so I promise them one thing, and everything comes with a money-back guarantee, but at least the course, in that their life will get better. It's not going to get perfect unless they believe that it's already perfect, because that's a belief system too. So I believe my life, I'm perfectly evolving the way I'm supposed to be evolving right now. So in that one way is perfection. And that's just a belief, a choice. So I just want to offer that to your people and anybody. And then we're creating a beautiful healing center in Columbia. It's Mountains of Hope, so mountainsofhope.com. So anybody, that'll be open in January 19. It's a 28-day healing reprogramming system where we address the physical, the mental, the emotional for a huge spiritual awakening. No one can ever leave that place the same. So that's what I have going on. And people say, well, Mike, why do you charge? Okay. So if you don't pay, you don't pay attention. And all the proceeds from the course and my books and Mountains of Hope, it all goes to the Love for Margo Foundation. And we're helping victims of human trafficking. We're feeding homeless. We're educating youth about the creation frequency. And we work with women that have cancer. So it's all pure.
You know, what is interesting, you talked earlier about how we're being programmed.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there are folks like yourself who are consciously and intentionally telling their readers, their listeners, their viewers, yeah, we want to program you too, but we're going to do it up front, out there in the open, and with a specific intention.
And you just hit the nail right on the head, Richard, because me, and everybody listening to us right now, they've created their physical reality with their thoughts and their emotions. The problem is we do it on somebody else's programming, and we do it unconsciously. And when we break free of that matrix and we get into our own programming, and we get into our heart and truly identify our desires, and now we use this kind of material and this power, and we take our power back. You know, the moment you're born, they want to start taking your power away, okay? And I'm all about, let's take our power back, mm-hmm. and let's create the life of our dreams, and more importantly, let's create a world for our children and our grandchildren.
Absolutely, absolutely. And I have to say that I have no children, let alone grandchildren. But my parents, who are in their 80s, still alive, kicking, and doing very well, they are actually helping to raise, and I love the fact that it's taken 20 years for this to happen, they are helping to raise not only my great-grandniece and nephew, but their great-granddaughter and son. And four generations, once again, are alive and well in our clan, shall we say, not since the late 90s when my great-grandmother passed away on my mother's side. And I used to joke with folks about how at her when she was 95 and we were at a birthday party, and I was doing an interview with people about her, and I interviewed her as well. And I said, yeah, I'm going to outlive her. And every year that went by, and every party we went to, I would say the same thing. And I say, but she's making it really hard because she's still, and I didn't want her to die, you know, but it was just jokingly. And she lived to be 100. So I've got another, 42 plus years, hopefully, to do this, perfect. To help people, to help you, to get the word out. Yeah. Hey, it is possible to have a better world. But it's going to take each one of us doing our part and changing the programming, changing the wiring in our brains, if you will, changing the cellular structure through eating better and drinking better and you know, taking care of our environment around us, even if it's just around our home. Yep. You know, got to start somewhere. And I'm so grateful for you doing this.
Well, thank you, and I researched you before I jumped on the phone with you this morning, and so I really appreciate one your story. It's a very powerful story, you know, about your eyesight and what have you. But more importantly, your topics, your subjects, your interviews are very powerful. So you're bringing light into the world, and you know, it's all about getting that and that this energy. You know, you just have listeners there in Santa Barbara, but now you have the internet too. But that. Regardless of where they hear it, the energy, the vibration, the frequency is still going out and affecting the collective consciousness. That's the beauty when we understand what's really going on here.
It's exciting, too, because in spite of the fact that you and I, we might have visions in our mind's eye of what we want to see for the future, okay, I try not to hold too fast to that and let it unfold as it will. Not trying to control the outcome, but becoming a part of the process, as I was taught.
Yeah. So that's the other thing I teach in the Creation Frequency Online course is that, okay, I've created this intention, right? Mm-hmm. So Mountains of Hope in Columbia was initially for women with cancer. Well, I had a couple of retreats. We did some things. And now it's a healing center for anybody that wants to heal and be better and be disease-free and or have more energy or whatever. So because I created this intention, but I'm the co-creator. There's a greater power here that I'm tapped into, and you know, I'll ask you this question: Are you breathing right now or being breathed? What's really going on? Do we really know? So I really believe when we tap into this amazing power that created this physical reality, and we align with it, and we get our cells vibrating at a high energy, our 50 trillion individual living conscious cells that hold memory because water holds memory, so all the self-talk they pick up, and if we get our cells, and then we get our mind left, right, conscious, subconscious, and then our heart and our emotions, and we clean up anything that needs to be forgiven, and we get totally aligned and vibrating at this very high frequency, the answer's right there in the friggin' cloud. That's the consciousness, and it's right there. Anything you want to know is right there.
Yeah.
Every great inventor, from Edison to Tesla to everybody, says, there's a source up there. I don't know what's going on. I just know when I need the answer, it comes.
Exactly.
And that's what we got to tap into.
I've even used this quick analogy as we wrap up. What if, on a cellular level, because you brought it up, counselor, what if each of those trillion cells decided, you know what, I want my individual rights and liberties, and I'm going to go off and do my own thing.
Well,
what would happen to the physical body? Well, it would disintegrate.
Well, I'm going to tell you just described cancer.
Yeah.
See, cancer are cells that no longer want to play by the rules and say, screw you, I refuse to die. See, the reason we're able to evolve and grow our body is because cells, like I'm a liver cell, and I say, okay, I'll come here, I'll do my job for 6 months, and I'll self-destruct. That's my job, okay? But a cancer cell says, no. And this, see, cancer is just a microcosm of the macro of what's going on in the world. It's selfishness. It's greed.
Yeah.
And so that's what a cancer cell is, and that's what our societal problems are.
Yeah. And so when we do tap into this frequency, this creation frequency, we do tap into that still small voice inside our intuition, as we talk about a lot on this program, then we begin to better understand not only our individual role, because that's the only way things get done is if individuals take on those roles. But I think that we also start to get a glimpse of how we are connected to the guy next to us and the gal next to us and their part. And we begin to create some awesome, awesome things, just as you have done there in Colombia, as well as here in the States. And I am grateful for this opportunity to have had this hour to chat with you. First of all, and granted, you aren't that far away. You're in Oakland, unless you're in Colombia. If you should ever find yourself in the Santa Barbara area, we'd love to have you in studio to continue this conversation.
That'd be great.
And also a reminder to our listeners that the website that you can go to is MikeMurphyUnfiltered.com. Get all the information. I'm just curious about this RD gift, which is the promo code. Can you tell me what the RD stands for?
Richard Dugan.
I did not know that, folks. I swear to God, I did not. The second thing I've got is for you. The thing I've got for you is three final questions I love to ask my guests.
Sure.
And again, thanks so much for giving us so much time. And I do get up to down to Los Angeles every so often. And who knows, maybe I'll when I'm heading that way, I'll ring you up and we'll get together.
Perfect.
First question I have for you, who is Mike Murphy?
Well, what a great question. I'll tell you what I'm not. I'm not my body, because where's my 10-year-old body, my 20-year-old body, my 30-year-old body? I'm not my thoughts, okay, because they're crazy half the time, right? So what am I? I'm eternal, timeless consciousness. You know, I am pure love. I am. That's my highest self, okay, living in this physical reality, which can be struggling at times. But the true Mike Murphy is timeless, unlimited consciousness awareness.
What is it that you hope to or want to achieve through the work that you're doing now?
Just make a huge impact on the world so it's a better place than when I leave than when I got here.
And finally, what is your life's purpose?
To serve.
I couldn't have put it better myself. And again, I thank you so much for joining us on the program. And a quick reminder to our listeners, the creation frequency, tune into the power of the universe to manifest the life of your dreams. Bring those dreams into reality. Mike Murphy, thank you again for joining us.
Thank you, Richard.
I'm Richard Dugan. This has been Tell Me Your Story. New paradigms for a new world, giving you choices and knowledge of those choices to help make your dreams come true. Get in touch with that creation frequency. Create some incredible things, folks. And until next time, love to Lal.